down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Father, we come before you this morning, Lord. I want to thank you once again for the open door and opportunity to be able to come into this place and worship you. God, I pray that you would uphold me by your power this morning. Help me now, God, to do, Lord, what you have called me to do, not for my sake, but for the sakes of all those in this room, Lord, and for your sake this morning. I pray you would do that miraculous work which only you can do. Speak to our hearts. Change us by your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hadn't the Lord been good to us? Amen. Isn't God's word good? Amen. Amen. I mean, listen, there are things in God's word that are so deep that you could spend your whole life searching and studying and trying to find the bottom of the depths of it. And I don't believe that you would ever come up dry. I was watching something the other day, and you understand the concept of mining. When we find a natural resource in the world, typically what humans do is say, okay, now we got to get it all out. And even over in rural Ireland, in some little towns in rural Ireland, they have a certain type of soil that has been over the years wetted and dried and compacted with root matter that has become something they call peat. And you say, what is that? Well, it's kind of like mud, but they take it out of the ground in blocks and they dry it out in the sun, and then they use it to light fires with. They use it to put in their fireplaces as opposed to burning wood. They burn peat almost like coal, if you will. And it's such an interesting thing. But here's the deal. The problem that they're having now, even in that rural area and mentality, is that they've been doing this so long that they're running out of it. And it takes many, many years for this ground to build up and formulate what forms this peat that they can heat their homes with. And so now what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to wait a long time until the earth produces some more of this form, because as they pull this out of the same thing with the coal, the natural resources that we have, the reality of it is, I'm not an environmentalist, but I'll say this, if you take something out long enough, eventually you're going to have to wait for it to get refilled. I mean, eventually you're going to run out. But I don't believe that the Word of God is that way. I believe that just in this chapter, you could spend 100 lifetimes searching the depths of this chapter, these 6 verses of Scripture, and I don't believe you'd ever come up dry. I don't believe you'd ever come up empty. I don't believe you'd ever run out. There's a description in this chapter of a life, the life specifically of a sheep. So what do you mean, preacher? Well, it begins by describing my shepherd. And if I have a shepherd, that makes me a sheep. I don't know, that ain't real deep, but if I'm describing my shepherd, that must mean that I'm his sheep. That's important. Say, why, preacher? Because you know what a sheep needs more than anything else in the world? To know how to follow the shepherd. So that's what I want to get into a little bit this morning. If you'll go with me, we'll just go verse by verse. We'll start like this. I want you to see this first in verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd. That's an interesting phrase. Say, why, preacher? Because it don't say was my shepherd.
That's right.
Don't say will be my shepherd. The Lord could be my shepherd. The Lord wants to be my shepherd. Notice what he says. David, writing this psalm, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. Right now, currently, here today. Can I tell you something this morning, Christian? You are not waiting on anything. You are not preparing for something that is to come as if, yeah, listen, as if everything, the good in your life is somehow down the road somewhere, the reality is that a person that is a part of the family of God, that has been born again, the Lord is your shepherd. Currently, today, He is providing guidance and leadership and making that available to you. Listen, you are not His follower when you get better. You're His follower whether you get better or not. The only question is, how closely are you going to follow Him? The Lord is. Thank God He is my shepherd. Amen. Thank God I'm not waiting on some big event before I can carry on a relationship with the Lord Jesus. Don't need to wake up this morning and help me preach a little bit. Oh, I'm going to sit down and amen myself. Come on now. Hey, listen, I'm glad that I'm not waiting for the mothership to land before things get good and before I can know the Lord. I'm glad I'm not waiting for some type of personal sanctification before I can know who Jesus is. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Notice that next phrase. I shall not want. This is interesting. Go with me now. What does the shepherd do for the sheep? I thought about this. What does a shepherd do for a sheep? Here's what I come up with. The shepherd, as a job, as a lifestyle, as a mechanism, a function of who he is, provides for the sheep based on his access and availability to resources. He provides for them based on his ability to fulfill their needs. You know what the shepherd does? He goes out into the wilderness. Why? Because he needs to find a good place for the sheep to roam. For the sheep that's got to have plenty of grass. It's got to have plenty of nutrients. It's got to be free from environmental things that would be against the sheep. It's got to be a place that is sturdy, a place that is solid, that's not going to have constant bad weather that's going to mess them up. It's not going to have a bunch of things that are going to come against them. His job is to seek out and search out a place that has the proper resources, and he uses his resources, what he has available to him, to provide for the sheep and his skills and his tools and all of that. And if that is the case, then the fact of the matter is, if the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. Because then he's providing for us based on his availability and access to resources. And can I tell you something? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and the hills thereon, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. There is nothing that is hidden from him, nothing that can be taken from him. So if he is my shepherd, I don't never have to worry about whether or not he can take care of me. I shall not want. Some of us, the reason why you spend so much time in want, what do you mean, preacher? I mean, looking around at what you don't have. And listen, you can do one of two things. Let me help y'all. I'm going to give y'all an illustration. Everybody okay with that? If this is what you have, and this is what you want, you can do one of two things. You can focus on this, or you can focus on that. But you can't focus on both of them at the same time.
That's right. That's good.
Some of us spend so much time focusing on what we want that we can't focus on what we have.
Amen.
So, hey, some of us spending so much time looking down the road at what we think might be coming that we can't look at what God's already done for us in the short term. Hey, listen, God's been good to you. If you are sitting in a pew in Down East Baptist Church this morning and you got up, got in your car, and drove down here, hey, listen to me, God's been good to you. Are you hearing me this morning? I can't get over the fact that I shall not want. All I need to do is focus on the shepherd.
That's right.
You know what the sheep does when he's hungry? He calls out to the shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
When the sheep begins to bleed and hunger, he's not calling out to his mama. He's calling out to the shepherd. Look at this. This is going to take long as it takes. Y'all just stay. I shall not want. Look at this next phrase. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I like this because this shows a little bit of force in the hand of the shepherd. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the shepherd don't have to consult the sheep to figure out which pasture is the greenest.
That's right.
Can I tell you something? God don't need
your input to figure out what's right for you.
Amen.
You say, "Well, preacher, I wanted to go to that pastor over there." Yeah, but here's the thing. The shepherd knows more than the sheep does.
Amen.
Because before the shepherd ever took the sheep out to the wilderness, he's already searched that land. He already knows the upsides and the downsides and everything in between. That he maketh me to lie down in green. He's made decisions for you that are beneficial to you if you'll just go where he wants you to go. He maketh me. I like that. Because sometimes the Lord's got to make me.
Yeah.
I don't know about y'all.
Yeah.
But listen, I'm not always a good follower. Sometimes I got to be made. I can't tell you, and the older I get, it seems like the more I pray this prayer. God, whichever door you want me to go through, shut that other one so tight that it's clear that that ain't the one.
Amen.
Say, preacher, you trying to, now listen to me now. I'm not smart. I'm not. I'm smart enough to know that I'm not smart enough to make all my own decisions. When it comes to the path of my life.
Right.
See, here's what... Listen, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's what your Bible says in Proverbs.
Right.
Until you realize that He knows more than you know, you don't really know nothing.
Amen.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I got to thinking about this thing. Man, y'all know I like to go trout fishing up in the mountains, fly fishing in these streams and rivers. One of the frustrating things about fly fishing is most of the time if you're fishing in a river, you've got to be in the river. And so I got waders that I put on. They're insulated. And that water's cold, man, even in the summertime. And I got to be able to stand up and cast. But there's certain places in the river. What I found is the deepest areas of the river are the most peaceful. That's where the still waters are. Most time, that's where the fish are. But I can't get to them. Say, why? Because it's too deep. But I want you to look at what your Bible says. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I tell you what, if you learn how to just follow Him, every once in a while, Christian, now I know I'm talking to fallible human beings, just like me. So I'm going to try to talk to you. I'm not going to sit here and preach to you as if you're going to leave this place and be the most hyper-spiritual person that ever lived after today. I'm trying to give you practical help. Okay? If you would just every once in a while let the Lord lead, you might find yourself in a much more peaceful position.
Yeah.
Them waters are still because they're deep. They're deep and because of that they are peaceful. Some of us spend our whole life in the rapids because we won't just follow. Notice what it says, He leadeth me beside the still water. Don't say He maketh me. We out of that now. To be led, you must follow. If you'll just go with Him, He'll take you to the deepest and the most peaceful part. Look at this. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. Notice you see that colon right behind that? That second part of that verse is an exposition on the first part of the verse. So what do you mean, preacher? Look at how He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now, I'm not taking a leap here. Just stay with me. How are we led? What is the mechanism by which a Christian can be led in the paths of righteousness? I'll tell you what I think. You wouldn't have said amen.
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 All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, or for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. I want to say this morning, thank God for a church where I can receive instruction in righteousness.
Amen.
For His name's sake.
Right.
This ain't for me. This ain't for you. This ain't about me. This ain't about you.
This is a mechanism by which we can be instructed in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You say, what does that do for you? Go back to the beginning of the verse. He restoreth my soul. This is a system of restoration that God has designed for us to be consistently restored. Listen to me. Every week we go back out into the wilderness to do our grazing, to do our thing. And there comes a time, a Sabbath if you will, where God must bring us together to restore us and instruct us in righteousness. Listen to me. Just like the sheep must return to the shepherd to be corrected and instructed and restored and receive restoration. Hey, listen, I don't want to say this morning. Whatever the world takes out of me, I'm glad the Lord, my shepherd, can put it back in me. Whatever the Lord removes from me, I'm glad He can restore to me this morning. There ain't nothing that they can take that He can't give me back. Thank God for restoration this morning. I like that paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I tell you what God will do if you'll let Him. He will develop a purpose in you that will bring Him glory. Problem a lot of us got is we're trying to walk the paths of righteousness for the sake of something else. Mm-hmm. For the sake of ourselves, for the sake of our family, for the sake of our popularity, for the sake of what everybody else thinks about us. But I tell you what, if you'll just follow Him because it makes Him happy, He will develop a purpose in you that'll be bigger than whatever that purpose is you're pursuing right now. Amen.
Yay, verse number 4, here we go. Now we're getting to the hard part. Y'all know about the hard part of life?
Amen. I mean, is there anybody in here over the age of a teenager that would say that life's just been a cupcake dream full of sunshine and butterflies and rainbows? I mean, come on now. We live in a sin-sick world. Yes.
I'm talking about a world that is cursed by the touch of sin, is filled with evil and unrighteousness. Yep. And all kind of stuff. Yea. Though I walk through the valley of... Listen, this is extremely important. Don't miss this. The shadow of death. Now when I read that, it struck me. Because He did not say, I walk through the valley of death. That's not what He said. I had to look up the word shadow because it has a lot of different meanings. A shadow can be a something that happens when the light shines and there's something in between you and the light. Right? Hey, that's pretty realistic there. How many times you've been walking through life and there's some obstruction? Mm-hmm. And you're looking around going, man, I just can't see what God's doing here. Mm-hmm. Y'all know about that? Mm-hmm. Amen. I mean, listen, I know what that's like. But if it's the valley of the shadow of death, then it's not the valley of death. Mm-hmm. Let me give you a definition of the word shadow that's in the same context. Let me find it right here. Well, now I've done lost my place. Listen to this. An imperfect and faint representation. As opposed to substance. Christian, you may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but you will not walk through the valley of the substance of death. Mm-hmm. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, things may look bad in this world, but this is just a taste of what could be. Mm-hmm. This is a shadow of what we will not experience. Amen. Jesus said, I am the resurrection of the life, and the life, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Mm-hmm. Amen. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Mm-hmm. I may pass through the shadow of death. There may be times in my life when that the light of God is obstructed by the mountains of death. Mm-hmm. And the mountains of death may loom large around me, but I want you to hear me this morning. We are protected in their shadow. We are not in that death, but we are in the valley, the protected place, the peaceful place, the place where those mountains guard us from the storms of life. Hey, listen to me. Every once in a while, one might slip over the mountains and get a little, it might get a little rough for you, but I'm telling you, we're in the right place. We're in the right valley. We're following the right shepherd. And because of that, look at what it says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Hey, listen to me. When you walk through something, that means that there's going to come a time when you come out on the other side. Somebody ought to say amen right there. You can't get through something if there's not another side to it. If there's not an end to it. Look what he said. I will fear no evil. Can I say this about God? His strong hand of protection is active in our life. Yeah. Notice what he says next. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff were a part of the shepherd's work at all times. But they were also a prepared weapon when the need arose. Amen. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, the rod was useful for a lot of things. It was useful for driving sheep. It was useful for prying rocks up, moving them around to create a fold in the wilderness. It was useful for knocking down limbs to create a path. The staff, it was useful for creating a third point of contact so that the shepherd could walk through rocky terrain and make sure that he got where he was going without harm. The staff was something that the shepherd would lift up in the tall trees and grass of the wilderness so that the sheep would recognize it and they could come and get to where the shepherd was at. All of these things are true, but the rod and the staff were not just for tools for everyday use. They were also the shepherd's mechanism of protection when the evil came against him, when the wiles of the wilderness came against him. David said, when the lion and the bear came and took a sheep out of the flock, I smote them with the rod. I grabbed the lion by the beard and I smote him with my rod. Hey, listen to me. God's hand of protection is always active in our lives. There was never a time when the shepherd was walking around without the rod in his hand and the staff in his hand. And can I say something? There's never a time when the Lord's walking around without what He needs to protect you. He's not caught off guard. He's not surprised by a situation. But He has what is necessary at all times. Amen. And that is a comfort.
Amen.
The psalmist said, they comfort me. You say, why? Because the shepherd knows how to use them. The strength of the shepherd is a comfort to the sheep. Church, your shepherd is just as strong today as he was when he parted the Red Sea.
Amen.
As he was when he defeated the armies of the Amalekites. As he was when he made the sun stand still. As he was when he met Jesus and James and John and Peter on the top of the Mount of Transfiguration. He's just as strong as he was when he spoke the words over the Jordan River. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He's just as strong as he was when Jesus was on Calvary and he turned his face away and the entire earth went dark. He's just as strong today as he was when he brought Jesus up out of the grave. He's just as strong today as he's always been. He's as strong today as he was when he met Paul on the road to Damascus. Hey, listen to me. The shepherd has not lost his strength. He's got the staff. He's got the rod. And our comfort comes from the strength of the shepherd.
Amen.
So what do you mean, preacher? I mean, how can it be bad when God's good?
Amen.
How can the world win when God is so strong?
Amen.
How can the enemy defeat us when they cannot defeat our shepherd?
You know what the sheep did? You know what the sheep did when the enemy showed up? Look what he says. He tells us in verse number 5.
Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. In the wilderness, as the sheep were grazing, they were constantly surrounded by their enemies. Everything in the wilderness is an enemy of the sheep. Think about this. Coyote, fox. I mean, listen. Everything's an enemy of the sheep. Predators were round about. I mean, mountain lions, bears, everything likes to eat sheep, even people. Thieves, robbers. If you were a sheep thief, where do you think you'd hang out at? You wouldn't steal them from the barn, you'd steal them from the field. Here's what the psalmist said. He said, my shepherd prepares a table for me. He said, what is that? That's a picture of peace. That's a picture of sustenance. That's a picture. You know what you do when you sit down at the table? You forget about everything else. The world becomes very small. When you sit down at the table to a meal, you forget about what's going on outside. Kind of like when you come in here and sit down to the table as the bread of life is broken. You're supposed to just let go of all that stuff that's outside for a little while. In the presence of my enemies, he said, in the wilderness they were constantly surrounded by their enemies, but the shepherd kept them safe in the midst of danger. Christian, the world you live in has you constantly surrounded by enemies. Even now, there are those who are against us. There are people in this world right now, enemies of God, who would literally give their lives to take yours and to destroy your ability to have the freedom to worship God. You are constantly surrounded by the wolves and the lions and the predators of this world, big and small. There are those. Listen to me. I watched it. Everybody okay?
Amen.
I was watching, I like, y'all like nature documentaries?
Yes.
I do. And I like it to watch how the kind of circle of life works in nature, right? There's some things like lions and bears. If a lion wants to kill, I was watching this thing, and it's this animal's like some kind of water buffalo looking thing. I can't remember what they called it. It had a funny name. But if a lion wanted one, you say, what did he do? Well, he just run up on it, took a bite out, jumped on his back, cut his throat, dealt with him. If a bear wanted one, I reckon he just run up and put it up under his arm and carry it to the house. But there's this animal in the wilderness that I watched this documentary on. It's called Komodo Dragon.
Yes.
Ever seen one of these things? This thing also eats these water buffalo. But he's about yay big. And he crawls on his belly on the ground. You say, now how in the world does he take down a buffalo? Well, I'll tell you. Inside his mouth is all type of bacteria. It's very deadly. So he'll ease up on this buffalo. I'm going somewhere with this, y'all. I promise I ain't forgot where I'm at. He leaves up on this buffalo, looks very insignificant. And when he gets up there to him, Miss Wendy, he'll reach out and just whoop, tap him on the leg, take a little bite. So what happens then? Well, about 24 hours later, that buffalo's dead.
Yeah.
Buffalo thinks he's fine. He goes on about living his life. Next thing you know, he's laid out on the ground, and old Mr. Dragon's having supper. So what are you saying, Bridget? I'm saying you face all kind of different kind of enemies.
Right.
I mean, we have enemies that are against. Listen, there's people who are against us. These churches that somebody's walked in the door and opened fire.
Mm-hmm.
That's them lions.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Thing about fighting a lion is you're probably gonna get hurt in a lion fight. But they some of them little ankle biters out there too.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen way too many Christians get took out by a little nip.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in the capacity as a pastor. I'm not a vain person. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, if you don't like me, that's okay. I believe that God has called many men to pastor churches in many different places under many different circumstances because people are different. And it ain't, you know, this ain't for everybody. I ain't for everybody. I'm fine with that. But if this is where God wants you, hear me out right here. Because I've seen way too many people get took out like this. Just a little nip. You said the wrong place this morning, which I really didn't have much of a choice. Just a little. Here's what it is. Well, that preacher of yours, I heard he's real mean. Yeah. Say, preacher, that don't mean nothing to me. Yeah, till you get home and you get thinking about that thing. Mm-hmm. And you go 2 or 3 weeks without going to church and you get thinking about that thing. Then all of a sudden the preacher's preaching sounds different to you. Mm-hmm. Everything starts to look different to you. Mm-hmm. Then people in church, they ain't nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you get to realizing, Sister Curry, you get to realizing that some of them are hypocrites. Mm-hmm. Which is true. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I would say to an extent, some much more than others, but to an extent, they're kind of all hypocrites. Mm-hmm. Listen, you're not going to sit here on this pew and tell me that I couldn't search the depths of every second of your life for the last 10 years and not find a point of hypocrisy in your life. That's not real.
That's true. Right.
If you want to find it on somebody, you can find it. And so that little nip starts to turn into an infection. Then people don't care about me. Then people are a bunch of hypocrites. They're all faking. Yep.
Yeah.
And then you say, what happens then? About that time's when the lion comes by. Mm-hmm. When you're weak. The Bible says that the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know what a lion does when he comes up on a herd of sheep? He takes the weakest one. The easiest path. Man, I've seen too many people get picked off. Because they refused the protection of the shepherd. For me and mine, the rod and the staff, I could preach on this verse all day long. The rod, you know what else the rod and the staff is? Everybody okay?
Amen.
I'm going to finish this chapter.
Okay.
I'm going to finish it. And listen, Cracker Barrel will still be there. I'm done. Listen, that rod and that staff. You know what the shepherd would do with the rod and the staff? This is good right here. Sometimes, with the rod, when the sheep was going in the wrong direction, the shepherd would use the rod. Ain't never had a preacher hit you in the middle of a sermon. But yeah, the shepherd would use the rod to correct the direction of the sheep. Sometimes, if you follow the Lord, there's going to be times when the Lord uses the tools that He has to correct your direction. That does not mean that the rod is not still a comfort to you. Just because you can't see what God's doing with it, don't mean He ain't doing the right thing.
Right.
We have a bad tendency to pull away from correction, but we still want protection. But you can't have one without the other. Let's continue. Thou anointest my head with oil. Notice, thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Colon. This next little part right here is what's going on while you're in the place of protection from the enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. What did the shepherd do to the sheep and the sheepfold? He anointed their head with oil, with salve. Why? Because he would use that not only to clean them, but to create a protective barrier around their ears and their eyes and their mouth and those type of things, the openings in their body, and that oil would run down the head of the sheep and be rubbed into the head of the sheep. Why? So it would protect them from dangerous things that wanted to enter in through their ears and through their eyes and through their mouth. Are y'all listening to me, church? Hey, listen, this will preach right here if you'll just go with me. But if you'll let God keep you in that place of protection, He'll cover some things up from you. He'll take some things out of your life that'll protect you, because the most dangerous things in your life in the flesh will enter into your life through your ears and through your eyes and come forth from your mouth. Are you listening to me? Hey, listen, what you see, there used to be an old song they sung with the children, be careful little eyes what you see, and be careful little ears what you hear. Hey, listen to me, be careful little mouths what you say. Hey, listen, it'd be real good if we stayed in the protection place of God long enough for Him to cover us with some protection that would keep the pests and the dangerous varmints of this world out of our... Amen. You know why the bugs go in through the ears and the eyes and the nose and the mouth? Because that's how you get to the brain. The Hindus would say that the eye is a window to the soul, but I would say the eye is a window to your brain. The things that go in your eyes will permeate your mind. Yeah. Images that enter in through your eyes, sounds that enter in through your ears, will begin to permeate your mind and create your personality. What you see, friend, what you see when you close your eyes is a representation of the things you've allowed to be seen when you had your eyes open.
Then look at that next one. There's a semicolon. A little separation. A little separation. This is real good. If you don't like this preaching, that's your problem, not mine. Look what he says. This is a sheep speaking. My cup. What is a cup? Cup is a vessel that you get water in, right? Can we all agree with that?
Amen.
Whether it can be a big cup, a little cup, whatever kind of cup. But it's what you get water in. It's what you drink water from specifically. But you got to put water in it to drink water from it. Everybody with me say amen.
Amen.
Notice what he says. My cup runneth over.
Now see, this is where I believe the Lord has developed certain people in certain ways. And I believe the Lord developed my past in a way that I would understand some things like this, that maybe somebody else wouldn't understand. But I've been around animals all my life, and if you put water in a bowl in an animal's enclosure, and you give it about 2 days, that water is no good.
Mm-hmm.
It's stagnant. It's got little bits of food in it. It's green. It's nasty. It stinks. I can't tell you, she ain't in here, so I'm going to pick on her. I can't tell you how many times when I was a kid, my mama picked up a bucket of stinking water out of a horse stall, had a turd floating in it or something like that, and dumped it at my feet and said, would you drink that? No. Well, why'd you put it in front of that horse then? If you leave it stagnant, it'll get stagnant. Are you willing to say amen? So how do you protect against that creature? If you keep the cup overflowing, it'll never get stagnant. The way the shepherd would do this, he would draw his water from some running water source and create a system where the water could run into the cup, overflow, and run out of the cup, so that it didn't matter if you came to it today or tomorrow, the water would always be fresh. The best way to keep a vessel clean is to have it be constantly overflowing. And overflowing, there's two parts to an overflow. I'm talking about you now, Christian. Stay with me. The best way to keep the vessel of your life clean is to be in a constant state of overflow. But there's two parts to overflow. There has to be an inflow. That's what you get in here. That's what you get in your prayer time. That's what you get in your Bible study time. That's what you get in your spiritual time. Oh, that's your inflow. But there's got to be an outflow for an overflow to happen.
You got to take what you get in you and send it out somehow. There's a lot of different ways to do that. You can send out what's in you by showing the love of God to others. Hey, listen, here's a good way to get some easy outflow in your life. This is a good release valve on what gets put into you in this place. You take one of these and hand it to somebody. You say, what have you done, preacher? You've opened up an outflow valve. Jesus told the woman in John chapter 4 at the well that if she would drink the water that he would give her, that it would be in her a spring of water springing up unto everlasting life. But a spring eventually is going to fill you up. That means that it's got to come out somewhere at some point. Constant inflow should lead to constant overflow. Some of us, our spiritual plumbing's backed up. Because we're getting, positioning ourselves for the inflow, but we don't have no outflow. So something's wrong somewhere. If there's spiritual water flowing in and nothing flowing out, something wrong somewhere. We got a leak. Listen, something stopped up. Now what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that if you sit in church every Sunday, or Sunday and Wednesday, or whatever day, and are receiving the inflow of the Word of God, but you can't show me nowhere in your life where there's any outflow, you need to come see the spiritual plumber. You need to talk to the shepherd, because something ain't right. And listen, your water's going to get stagnant. And listen, and it's going to start to stink. When Jesus approached Lazarus' tomb, they said, he's been in the tomb 4 days. By now, he's stinking. You know what I think about every time I hear that? I know some Christians like that. They done got still so long, nobody even want to be around them. They're offensive. Listen, they've done held back their outflow so long, they've become stagnant. You know, stagnant water's not hard to pick out. And when the water of your life is stagnant, you may not know it, but I can tell you right now, everybody else knows it.
Constant inflow should lead to constant overflow. And an overflowing vessel will not only stay clean, but it will also provide resource to everything else around it. The water around the overflowing cup, the grass around the overflowing cup was always green. Because the overflowing cup was providing not only for itself, but for everything around it. Every time the sheep came to the overflowing vessel, he had clean water. I'm fixing to be done. Verse number 6. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going to say this and I'm going to quit. The happiest and the safest sheep are the ones that stay where the shepherd wants them to stay, go where the shepherd wants them to go, and accept the nourishment that the shepherd provides for them. The old saying goes,
the grass is always greener on the other side.
But you know why that saying exists? Because it's ironic. Because when you step out of the protection of the shepherd, it doesn't matter how green the grass is. So, the preacher, things are looking tough in the shepherd's fold. That's why we have the shepherd.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
He knows what to do. I've been serving for a long time. And I've been doing it long enough now to agree with what David said.
when he said, I've been young and now old, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread.
That's right.
I've never seen nobody following, pursuing after Jesus that Jesus didn't take care of.
Amen.
Won't you stand together, heads are bowed and eyes are closed.